Provide timely help. Benjamin was born in the slums, a pair of slippers to wear, and his shirt had a long slit. His house was on the slope of the riverbank. Benjamin worked at a factory that was 5 miles or so from his house. There was a slogan on the factory's wall, "Work for yourself." Benjamin was smart. He was ever so diligent. He worked so hard that his boss liked him very much. So far, Benjamin had done very well at the factory. He saved all his money in a pot so that he could buy some gifts for his girlfriend next month, a smooth mirror, an overcoat, and so on. But a sly smuggler had been on watch for the pot for a long time. One day, the smuggler set fire to Benjamin's house. Then he smashed the door open in the name of firefighting. Under the cover of the smog, he snatched the pot on the sly. That evening, Benjamin had some snack as supper, then went home. He was caught in the snowstorm so that his clothes were soaked. He made his way home. To his shock, his house was burned and the pot was gone. He couldn't imagine who could be so mean as to do a thing like that. He couldn't smooth his anger and sadness. The next day, Benjamin's boss heard of this misfortune. He gave Benjamin some money. "I am not a snobbish boss," he said to Benjamin. "I'd like to help you out of trouble."
A strong man's weak moment. This soldier was the sole survivor of the battle. Military discipline solidified the soldiers, but most of them died in the so-called patriotic war. The soldier stood up as soon as he woke up. Extreme cold solidified water. The food had frozen solid. Such problems were not readily soluble. Its solution required a few hours. The soldier took out a solar cell, but the sun had no sooner started to shine than it was clouded over again. He couldn't solve the problem now. The soles of his shoes were broken. The mud had soiled his socks. The soldier began to sob. He wanted to take a shower with soap. He wanted to drink a chocolate soda. He wanted to watch a soccer game, and he missed his family. His father was a peasant, making his living from the soil. His mother was a sociologist, researching socialism. When he left to go up the line, they looked at him with a solemn expression. Sometimes he doubted whether he could see them again. After sobbing, the soldier felt somewhat sober. He knew he must do something somehow. He took some soluble tablets first to keep himself warm. Then he began to walk forward. He firmly believed that he could get to the destination sooner or later.
Don't give up. Charlie lived in southern part of the Soviet Union. He was a sophomore in a famous university. He devoted every spare moment to aeronautics. His father was a specialist in this field. From childhood, Charlie heard many stories about sophisticated spacecraft from his father. In spring, they too did pits with a spade, then sowed seeds. And they often used a spear to frighten sparrows. Whenever Charlie thought of his father, there was a spark in his eyes. But nobody told Charlie stories anymore since his father died. Past events make Charlie's heart sore, but he believed that the soul lives forever, which comforted him to some degree. This afternoon, Charlie heard of bad news coming from a reliable source. That is, the school doctor didn't think he had a sound constitution for astronaut examination. The sophisticated school doctor had a sour temper. He disliked Charlie. Charlie felt sorrowful about the news. He couldn't eat food this evening. Furthermore, the hot weather had soured the soup. He sorted his books, then went outside for a walk. Charlie walked southward to a bridge. The bridge had a span of 60 meters. Standing on the bridge, he could see the river waves sparkling in the moonlight. He said, as if his father was watching him, "I won't give up."
a splendid exploration. Dr. Carner was distinguished in biography spheres. He specialized in animal species. His specialty was researching spiders. Dr. Carner cared more about the spiritual life than the substantial life, so he spit in contempt of his father's speculating. Then his father abolished his right of inheritance out of spite. Last summer, we joined in Dr. Connor's expedition. We didn't want to be spectators only. Dr. Connor made careful specification for this exploration. There was a specific tool for each job. The specifications were ready for us. He gave us very specific instructions. Then he put on his spectacles and showed us some specimens of spiders. We were poor at spelling, so we couldn't spell those spiders' names. Finally, he specified the particular time to gather. The next day, we set out in spite of the rain. All of us were in high spirit. The truck speeded up after it left town. Day one, Dr. Connor got a bad spill trying to ride a horse. Day two, he spilled the coffee all over his book. Day three, it cleared up. The spectacular sunrise made us exclaim in surprise. We will remember that splendid spectacle forever. Day four, we saw a hot spring. All of us splashed in it except Dr. Connor. He needed to speculate on the situation before making the decision. Day five, Dr. Connor found a spider spinning on a sphere. He spun with excitement. Totally, we spent 15 days in exploration. In a word, it was splendid.
Unimaginable magic performance. David went to stage at the age of 20. He was very stable to face any problem since then. Ambition was the spur that made him work hard. As a magician, his reputation spread all over the world. Last week, his performance was held at a big stadium in Spain. A famous company sponsored the performance. The spokesman of the company announced the beginning of the performance. All staffs, including David, appeared on a square stage. He wore a white suit with black spots on it. He said, "Spain is my favorite holiday spot." Then he took out a sponge. He poured water on it. Then he squeezed the sponge. It was dry now. All the audiences smiled except a little boy. He spotted his grandfather's collar with ink. The boy was spoiled by his grandfather. He cried and nearly spoiled the performance. Fortunately, the following program attracted him. David opened the stable door. A sportsman pricked his spurs into the horse. They came on the stage. David stabbed the horse with a staff. The horse turned into a squirrel. All the audiences on the spot applauded spontaneously. The third one was surprising. David split a stack of logs. Once he split, one log began to sprout leaves. Next, David sprinkled a spoon of sugar on it, and it blossomed. In the last game, David sprayed paint on the wall. Then three beauties walked out of it.
Justice must be done. Life in a village seems static, but it's not. Ed found this recently. There was a stall nearby the landlord's house. Ed could buy some stationery stamps and stainless steel knife there. From the standpoint of a stranger, the landlord set two strict standards for his servants. The servants only could use the back staircase. They starved, but only could eat a piece of stale bread every day. Each cow made her own stall in the shed. Every servant worked a standardized machine. One day, the landlord lost his stakes in the horse race. Additionally, he was stumbled by a stake. He became angry and began to thrash a servant. In his opinion, he himself stood for power, and he could kill a person like stamping on an insect. The other people stood by and did nothing. At first, Ed remained stationary so as not to be seen. He stared with astonishment. Such conduct was a stain to humanity. He decided to stand by the poor servant. He acted quickly because the man's life was at stake. Ed stood up for him. The landlord didn't listen to him. On the contrary, he killed the servant. Then he warned Ed. Ed stood up to his threat. The next day, Ed visited a famous statesman who is respected by people. Ed stood up when he came in. The statesman's red hair made him stand out in the crowd. He was startled by Ed's words. Soon afterwards, he made a statement about the affair. He promised to punish the savage act.
The Last Sail. July 30th was the date an old captain sailed last time. His steady working style of 35 years made his status high. The statistical data from the Weather Bureau showed that there would be a storm soon. Despite the statistic, the captain stuck to his duty. Nothing could change his stern mind. The steamer set out on a sunny morning. As usual, his wife bought some roses with long stems. She was stung by one of roses. The wife stirred the sugar into her husband's coffee. The captain stuck the fork into the potato. Then they kissed goodbye. The captain's father came to see him off. The stern old man stood on the dock, leaning on a stick. The captain stuck his head out of the window and waved to his father and his wife. The stewards had stuck sticky labels on the cargo. They were ready for sailing. Step by step, the steamer stepped up its speed and left the harbor. The status of weather wasn't optimistic. After standing in the chilly wind for too much time, the captain felt stiff in four limbs. But he still stood steadily at the stern like a statue. The captain, together with the steward, stuck out the stiff sailing. The steamer passed by steep hills and was close to the destination. This stimulated the steward to work harder. The captain listened to the stereo radio and steered the steamer careful into the harbor. To welcome the steamer, a long line of honor guards marched all in step, and the police stepped in to keep order.
Hard life. There was a stony inn nearby a stream. It was a two-story. The host was a diligent man. His wife was a straightforward woman and often asked him quite straightforward questions. She had cooked a meal for her husband with a gas stove, but he had no stomach for supper. He strained his right arm by lifting a heavy bag just now. He strapped his arm with a cloth strap. The wife was stitching her stockings. When she sewed, she made long stitches. She thought of a lot of sad things. Her husband put all their money in a company stock. They lost most of their money. Last week, their streamlined car was stolen. The storage of food was not enough. The close-by store had no more food in stock. And now, the clouds threatened a stony storm. The woman couldn't bear the stresses and strains of life. Tears streamed from her eyes. The host straightened his back. He must work out a strategy to deal with the coming storm. It would take great strength to resist the storm. First of all, he must strengthen the foundation of the inn. He stressed this to all his workers. Then he stooped to pick up his tool to work with them together. Even some strangers came to help them. Having finished work, the tired host sat down on a stool. Then he drank strawberry juice through a straw. After that, he asked all of the people to hide in the storage area before the storm.
The world around us. That morning was a stuffy morning. I got out of bed and had a good stretch. My dog came to lie down beside me. I nearly stumbled over it. It liked to be stroked. I subscribed several kinds of newspaper. So after I stuffed myself full of food, I read them. There was a lot of stuff in them. I was attracted by a piece of striking news. Because a subordinate in a film studio didn't submit to the strict order from his stubborn manager, he was stripped of clothes and given 5 strokes of the whip. The angry workers struck to their human rights. They divided into 2 groups and subdivided into 4 groups. They strode on their sturdy legs down the street. They declared that they were not string puppets. All the other issues were subordinate to this one. the subordinate's wife was invited to a television studio. She wore a string of pearls. Her skirt had white stripes between blue. She was a stubborn woman. Whatever happened, she would strive. It seemed that the struggle would last for some time. The second one was that a tall structure had been put up in downtown. I liked the structural idea. The third one was about building submarine cable tunnel. A company needed a submarine to submerge into the deep sea. It submitted an application for approval. After reading newspaper, I strung them together with a strip of sticky tape. Then I decided to go back to my studio.
Succession wave. The old mayor retired. Somebody must substitute for him. Mr. Pearson succeeded in the succession. He was born in a family with abundant substance. He inherited substantial property, subtracted legacy tax. Mr. Pearson lived in a substantial castle in the suburb, and he had many luxuries, such as subtle watches and expensive cars. He didn't eat sugar, so honey had been used as a substitute in his recipes. Mr. Pearson was thought a suitable successor. All of a sudden, the subsequent thing surprised everybody. The old mayor died on a subway. It was proved that he died from poisoning. His family sued Mr. Pearson. They heard they once quarreled because the old mayor didn't accept his suggestion. On the day of trial, Mr. Pearson wore a black suit. The black suit suited him very well. Nobody noticed his subtle strain. The substance of his defense was that he was innocent. Mr. Pearson's defense was successful. The substantial sincerity of his words moved the jury, and his lawyer supplied sufficient evidence to prove that the old mayor committed suicide. The old mayor underwent 4 successive operations within a month. There was such much pain he suffered in succession from his illness that finally he sucked poison. Mr. Pearson won his suit at last.
Ivan and his superior. To supplement his ordinary income, Ivan did a part-time job in a supermarket. His superior, a young woman, summoned him and his colleagues to have a meeting. She supervised the commodity department. She summarized the situation and encouraged them to work hard. Her superiority made her a very superior kind of woman. In sum, Ivan fell in love with her at first sight. She brought sunshine into his life. But he must suppress his feelings beneath his calm surface. Ivan helped his superior to write summaries of all kinds of reports. He summed up the turnover for her, but the woman thought he was too superficial to be her boyfriend, so she never said superfluous words to him. One night, the sulfur in the storage caused a fire. Ivan fought the fire so bravely that he got hurt. Before he was sent to the hospital, he summoned up his courage to express his love. He said, "I really wanted to enjoy the sunrise and sunset together with you." Ivan supposed that his superior must refuse him. But she answered, "Suppose we go for a trip after you recover." Ivan was surprised. He asked again to make sure that she accepted his love. It was the supreme moment in his life. Ivan's burns were superficial and soon got well. They took a supersonic aircraft to a beautiful city. Then they spent a super week at the seaside, and Ivan found that his superior's dancing was superb. He loved her more.
A war suspect. Before the battle, soldiers swore an oath to carry out their duties faithfully. They suspended their march in front of a swamp. Soon they found they were surrounded by swarms of enemies, but the soldiers would rather die than surrender. A soldier was injured heavily. Hope sustained him in the struggle. Finally, he lost his consciousness. He dreamed of a black swan and several swallows flying in the sky. It was a surprising dream. When he opened his eyes, He saw a lamp suspended from the ceiling. He found he was in a hospital. The hospital was in beautiful surroundings. The branches of the trees were swaying in the wind. A surgeon asked him what's his surname. The surgeon had saved many lives by surgery. He surpassed other surgeons in skills. The soldier took the medicine in one swallow, and the surgeon took away the surplus medicines. The soldier didn't know he was under suspicion. He was suspected by his superior. Few survived after that battle. The superior was suspicious of his survival. He thought the soldier might be a traitor. When the soldier knew that, he felt disappointed. So he left the hospital and climbed up a high mountain. He stood on the top of it and surveyed the whole city. Little by little, he calmed down, and he decided to survey the whole event.
A medical symposium. A medical symposium would be held in a hall. The systematic arrangement of chairs made the hall look spacious. There were two swords on the wall of the hall. They were put in symmetry. They were the symbol of the symposium. Before the symposium, the floor of the hall had been swept. All the clocks in the hall had been synchronized. A symphony orchestra came in first. They synchronized their steps. After the symphony orchestra finished its performance, the chairman stepped on the platform. His assistant switched the speaker on. The chairman switched the subject from syndrome to synthetic medicine. He talked about how to produce medicine by synthesis. His speech sympathized with the audiences. A Swiss was busy making notes. He was a doctor. He sympathized with all those who suffered from illnesses. He was sympathetic when his patients died, so he researched different symptoms of different illnesses to work out better medicines. This Swiss wore a sweater, and now he sweated all over. And a swift bee stung his hand, and it swelled up. The Swiss couldn't focus his attention on the speech. He looked out of the window. Some children were playing on the swings. They were swinging happily. At the end of the symposium, the chairman announced that he would collect good papers in a symposium.
Take over a career. A talkative tailor was famous for making good suits. Some people took him for a tame person, but they soon found out their mistakes. The tailor was skilled and tactic. He never took in his customers. Cheating was a taboo in his mind. The tailor had a son. The boy took after his father. He took to his father very much. He followed the tailor all day like a tail. His father told him tales of interesting things. The boy was talented. He took apart a sartorius at the age of 10. The tailor took him as his successor. He taught the son step by step. For example, at first he taught the son how to put the price tag on a suit. Whenever the tailor scolded the boy never talked back. He only took down what his father said. Thus, he took it in quickly. Business took up much of the tailor's time. Year by year, hard work took away his health. The tailor must take 3 tablets for his headache every day. One night, the son helped his father to take off the coat. Then he talked his father into retirement. The next day, the tailor began his travel. The plane took off on time. The son took in the task his father gave to him. He took on his father's duty and took over the shop. He was eager to take up some job. As the spring came, trees took on the green color. But the tailor died. The son fixed a tablet to the wall in memory of his father.
Painful boyhood. James and Lou were teenagers. They were good friends. Whenever Lou heard a soft tap on his door, he knew it's James. James liked to tease Lou, but Lou seldom lost his temper. Their country declared a war against their neighboring country because of a tariff problem. Advanced technology was used in war. The technological progress accelerated the development of weapons. New weapons were produced by new technique. The president made a tedious speech to encourage the youth to enlist. James and Lou joined the army. A highly skilled technician trained them to drive tank. Both of them tanned quickly in the sun. One day, Lou received an order to bombard a tanker. Before departure, he left a tape recorder to James. Lou saw the target through a telescope. He didn't know it was a trap. The road was covered with tar. Besides, the petrol tank in his tank is empty. The tank could not move owing to some technical reasons. The enemy surrounded the tank. Lou sacrificed his young life. When James heard of the news by telegraph, he cried Lou's name in tears. James caught cold that night, then had a temperature. His temples were very hot. He had to cool his forehead in the cold water from the tap. The war ended. James hesitated, but finally went to the telegraph office to send a telegram to Lou's parents. Their hearts were torn by pain. They buried their son's relics in a temple.